Good morning.
Good morning.
And love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's good to see you, Derek and Ricky. The Cardinals must be playing at 11 o'clock or something, right? No? Okay. And also, I have a very special friend here today.
Yay!
A Ukrainian cowboy. Okay. Victor. Okay. It's really great to see you, Victor. It really is. Okay. So. Alrighty. Let's take a closer look at the lesson now today. Verse 49, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. So what is the fire that Jesus wants to bring?
The Word.
The Word? Oh, that sounds good, okay. But not in this context, okay. Bob Udley says, in John 3, it states that Jesus did not come the first time as judge, but as Savior. After being among fallen humans, he now wishes end-time judgment was already present. Gospel hearers are divided into two, and only two, groups by how they respond to Jesus and his message. Jesus wants the kingdom of God to be manifest on the earth, even though there will be a great cost to himself and others, the loss of unbelievers eternally, and the persecution of believers temporarily. So why do you think Jesus wants the end-time judgment? Well, once again, if we look at the context here, okay, the people do not understand the gospel or the good news of Jesus, and they're rejecting the Messiah. Remember, Jesus is the incarnate God, and he's come to earth, okay? The people still don't get it, okay? You have the religious leaders playing word games with him and rejecting him. Reminds me sometimes what we've been through in the last month. You just pray, come, Lord Jesus, okay? Let the day of judgment happen, okay? I think we've all been there. That's what Jesus is saying, okay? Charles Spurgeon. If the gospel of Jesus Christ had been a mystic philosophy which only a few could comprehend, it would not have been a matter of fire. If it had been a mere pompous bunch of ceremony which the people could only look upon and admire, it would have had no ardent influence. If it had been a mere orthodoxy to be learnt by heart and every jot and tittle to be accepted without consideration, or if it had been a mere law of civilities and legalities, a mere ordinance of propriety and rule and regulation, it would never have been what Christ says it is. But inasmuch as it is a principle which affects the heart and which takes possession of our entire manhood, changes, renews, uplifts, inspires us, making us akin with God and filling us with His divine fullness, it becomes in this world a thing of flame and fire burning its way to victory. So do we understand the good news of Jesus Christ that He's brought? Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay. This is very important. Next. Next. It is a relationship with Jesus that changes everything. It is not religion. All right? Do you see why Jesus is upset? Okay. He's the incarnate God who came to live in relationship with us. And He's going to die on a cross. And the people don't get it. They'll say, you shouldn't heal people on the Sabbath, okay? Your disciples, they're working on the Sabbath by taking grains of wheat out of a field. And Jesus says, God is here with you, the Messiah is with you. Don't you get it? Does that sound familiar? Doesn't that happen today, right? Absolutely, all the time. Messiah is here, God is with us, and He's offering us a relationship. And instead we focus on stuff. Little stuff. Verse 50, but I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. So what's the baptism that Jesus is to undergo? His death. Once again, context. He, Jesus, longed for the time when He should suffer and die, having an eye to the glorious issue of His sufferings. So much was his heart set upon the redemption and salvation of man. He looked forward to his baptism, the cross, and a terrible death, because he knew through it he would save us and restore us back into a relationship with God. He was focused, okay? Now, since Jesus had this baptism to undergo, do we have a baptism to undergo? Yes, and it's not water. When Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, did he promise us that everything's going to be just flowers and butterflies? No. Okay. He promised us hard times, right? We're in a spiritual war. We're in a war for souls. Charles Spurgeon writes, you may depend upon it. There is no good doing if Satan does not howl. If Satan does not howl. When there is no opposition from the infernal powers, it is because there is nothing to oppose. Let them be, says Satan, let them be. A comfortable congregation, a sober minister, all asleep, let them be. Drive on, he says to his charioteer. I need not a light here. Another small congregation, more pews than people, sleeping nothings. Drive on, he says. No trouble here for my empire. Drive on to yonder meeting house where there is an earnest preacher and a people much given to prayer. Stop, he says. I must use my best endeavors to stop this invasion of my kingdom. Does Jesus howl over us? Or does Satan howl over what we're doing? Okay? I would say, I hope so. Okay? In the last several weeks it has happened. Our laptop, just for an example. Some of you may not know, about 2 weeks ago we had our laptop stolen. And it's been a nightmare working on the internet trying to get a laptop to replace it. I don't want to get into all those stories, but Ricky would be more than happy to share them with you. Okay? Then, not last Sunday, but the Sunday before. Was it the Sunday before when they ran over the mailbox?
Yeah.
We had somebody ran over our mailbox and drag it across the parking lot. Thanks be to God they didn't hit a kid, all right? Because you know how we have little kids out there all the time. We've had to rekey the facility. These are just minor things, though, okay? Aside from the loss of Elma, and we had a soldier wounded in Afghanistan, a lot of different things, okay? So the enemy is attacking, all right? We're in a spiritual war. So we need the prayers of the church to combat that, all right? We have to realize we're in a spiritual war. That's because people are coming to Jesus Christ here, all right? Amen? Did you hear that? It was Satan howling. Amen. Verse 91, or 51. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. You read this and you think, isn't Jesus the Prince of Peace? Yes, he is the Prince of Peace, right? That the peace is between us and God, right? And then the peace can flow into other relationships. But when we accept Jesus Christ, we're at war with the world, okay? We're at war with our culture when we take him as our Savior and our Lord. Bob Eaton says, even the close family relationships in a Jewish home will experience division over Jesus. There is a priority commitment needed to follow him. Believers form a new family, the family of God. By the way, the believers forming a family, the family of God, yesterday I was really blessed. I went into the jail, as you know, and I did the Spanish and English service. And at both services, they were asking about Naz, another inmate who's now in Eloy undergoing an immigration process. But the guys were asking me if I'd heard from Naz, because they were concerned about him, okay? They have their own church there, okay? That's what the community is supposed to be about, okay? But have we experienced a noise and a shaking in our relationships because we are Christians? Yes, okay? With family members? My sister Bonnie has with their kids. 29 years ago when I quit drinking, my brothers and sisters all thought I was nuts, okay? I went out and got them a New Testament on cassette tape back then, okay? And they all thought I was crazy, all right? Well, I have two brothers and one sister. Now I got one brother and one sister who are also crazy. So thanks be to God, all right? Amen. There's a noise and a shaking, okay? even in families, and families can be divided. Have any of you here had divisions in your family because you've accepted Jesus Christ? Absolutely, right? And it means, once again, we're making Satan a howl. Satan doesn't like that, all right? Verse 54. He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, 'It's going to rain,' and it does. And then when the south winds blow, you say, 'It's going to be hot,' and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?" Bob Utley once again says, Jesus offers a series of weather forecasting signs that this Palestinian audience knew well. They could predict the weather, but were blind to the coming judgment of God. They missed God's Messiah. Do we know how to interpret the present time? We know when a monsoon's coming, right? You see the clouds come in during the day, and you know when they're getting closer, you know you're going to have a monsoon that night. Okay, of course, it helps when you see the Weather Channel, too. Okay, but you can tell, right? We can read the signs of the times, all right? But in the same way that the Jews couldn't realize that Christ was the Messiah who was with them, is Christ with us? Do we realize it? Matthew Henry writes, "Ye hypocrites, who pretend to be wise but really are not so, who pretend to expect the Messiah and His kingdom, for the generality of the Jews did, and yet are no way disposed to receive and entertain it. How is it that you do not discern this time, that you do not discern that now is the time according to the indications given in the Old Testament prophecies, for the Messiah to appear, and that according to the marks given to Him, I am He? Why are you not aware that you have now an opportunity which you will not have long, and which you may never have again, of securing to yourselves an interest in the kingdom of God and the privileges of that kingdom? Now is the accepted time. Now or never. It is the folly and misery of man that he knows not his time." You see why Jesus wanted the fire to come, right? Because he said, today is the day of salvation. You've been looking at the Old Testament prophets, right? And they foretell about me and this time. Accept me today, because tomorrow may be too late, right? That's what Jesus is saying. And that's why he prays for fire to come, all right? Is it any less true today? No. That was 2,000 years ago. We're 2,000 years closer to the time of Jesus returning, right? It could be any time, all right? It can be any time. Jesus, the Son of God, who died for us and rose from the dead, is here today. What are we going to do with Him? Accept Him. Praise Him. Take Him as Lord. Okay? If you haven't, take Him as Lord now. Remember Elvis Presley? He had a song, right? It's now or never. All right? Well, it's now or never for us also. Okay? Except Jesus, we don't know what's going to happen. Adrian Peterson, the running back for the Minnesota Vikings, had a 2-year-old son in South Dakota. A 2-year-old. And here's a rich man. It's the son of a rich man, right? You figure he has nothing to worry about. The child was beat to death. He was assaulted and beat to death. We don't know. We don't know how long we have here, right? None of us. Including our kids and our grandkids. We don't know how long we have. So accept Jesus while you can. Amen? Charles Spurgeon, do you believe that if Jesus Christ came into this world, He would call 9/10 of our modern religion to Christianity, which He preached? Is it the least bit like His own zeal? Many think that all the faith Christianity requires is to put on your best things on Sunday and go to your place of worship with your Bible or hymn book or prayer book. And some churches don't believe you even have to dress up, including ours, okay? But once again, do you see? It drives me crazy how far we've fallen from the faith, right? The zeal that Jesus had, wanting the kingdom to come. Paul and Peter and the disciples praying that the kingdom of God would come, that Jesus would return. And they weren't afraid of it, okay? They looked forward to it. And they wanted to make sure everybody they knew and people they didn't know accepted Jesus Christ because they were looking at eternity, heaven and hell. And what I told the guys in jail yesterday is that when you return home, start with your family. Start with your wife and your kids. Make sure they know Jesus Christ. Because we're talking about eternity. And then go to your grandkids or whatever. Spread it out, okay? Because the time is short. The time is short, okay? And I'm an old guy, so my time is even shorter, all right? But we don't have that long, right? There's no guarantees in life. The only guarantee in life is Jesus Christ. When you know Him,
Amen.
We know that we're going to live forever. Amen?
Amen?
So what do we believe Jesus requires of us? Just to dress up and go to church on Sunday?
No.
Can we say we are zealous for Jesus? That's a question to take home and think about, okay? Are we zealous for Jesus? It convicts me, okay? Convicts me. Verse 57, why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled on the way, or your adversary may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. So who is the judge? Jesus Christ, okay? Matthew Henry says, while we are alive, we are in the way, and now is our time. By repentance and faith through Christ, who is the mediator, as well as the magistrate or judge, to get the quarrel made up while it may be done, before it may be too late. So what Jesus is saying is, make peace with God now, because when you're dead, it's too late, okay? So make peace with God and Jesus Christ today, because tomorrow may be too late, all right? Romans 13, verse 11, Paul writes, and do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And isn't that the truth, okay? And maybe you're thinking it isn't reasonable to follow Jesus Christ, okay? Matthew Henry writes, Christianity has reason and natural conscience on its side, and if men would allow themselves the liberty of judging what is right, they would soon find that all Christ's precepts concerning all things are right, and there is nothing more equitable in itself, nor better becoming us, than submit to them and be ruled by them. And I say, don't listen to our culture. Read God's Word, and you will see the divine wisdom in it. And it changes everything. But read it with your heart. And then you'll understand with your mind. Don't go in with your mind trying to figure it all out. Just read it with your heart. And then later you'll get the understanding. And you'll see the wisdom is so much greater than any wisdom we have here on earth. Right? Once you get into the Word, you see that, wow, this just ain't a book. All right? This is the living Word of God. That changes everything and changes us, okay? And the thing about Christianity is it works. Pastor Perry and I, like I said, on many occasions, we say, work on your relationship with Jesus Christ and everything will fall into place. And it does. When you follow Jesus Christ, things just fall into place, right? When we accept Jesus, we've received forgiveness of all of our sins. Any sins we've ever committed are gone. They're washed in His blood. That alone would be enough to make it worth it, right? To know all of our sins are gone, all right? Then we have eternal life in heaven, and we make Satan howl.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And what they said at the Spanish service yesterday, I tried to say the word for howl. It's huye. And they just said, oh! That's what we do to Satan. We make him howl, okay? I'm not a great howler, okay? But anyway, brothers and sisters, receive Jesus today and receive the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to live, and then share Jesus with the world. That's what our mission is, right?
Yes.
That's what our mission is.
I'm going to finish with some words of Charles Spurgeon. Fire is not to be talked to in that way. Fire knows nothing about moderation and keeping to itself. I have not often heard this kind of theory laid down. Have I not often heard this kind of theory laid down? You religionists have your own liberty. Keep yourselves respectable and quiet and enjoy yourselves, but leave other people alone.
Does that sound familiar?
Why must a man become a firebrand, becoming a bigot, intruding his peculiar views where they are not wanted? Yes, that is just what the world desired in Christ's day, no doubt.
Isn't that what they were telling Jesus? And how did he respond? Did he shut up? Was he politically correct?
No.
So if we're his followers, are we to be quiet? Are we to be politically correct? No. Okay? And the world is going to call us bigots. They're going to call us peculiar, among other things. They're going to call us haters. But no, we're lovers. We love Jesus. And we love other people. Okay? And everything we do should be motivated by His love. All right? And you think about what you do. Man, think about life before you knew Jesus Christ. And what it's like now that you know Him. How much better your life is. Okay? That's what we need to talk to people about. Is how much better our lives are now that we know Him. All right? And brothers and sisters, let me ask, is there anything you would trade for your relationship with Jesus Christ?
No.
And how can you explain it to, can you explain that to somebody?
No.
You have to have Him here, and then you know. There's nothing you would trade for Jesus.
Friends, the appointed time is now. Tomorrow may never come. Accept Jesus today and make Satan a howl. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm going to have Pastor Perry lead us in prayer. And Pastor, I'd like you to start by, if you haven't accepted Christ, accept Him today. Or maybe you just want to accept more of Him and receive more of the Holy Spirit.
But accept more of Christ and make Satan a howl today.
It's interesting to say that, Pastor Rick, because Irene, our council person from last week, she said, Pastor, you know, it's great to hear you pray, but I would encourage you to get others involved in praying with you and not just, you know, get everybody involved and engaged with a relationship with Christ. I forgot she said that, and Friday night in jail, I did it. We did a responsive prayer, and we had probably five or six men crying on their knees on the floor. It was like we had a Pentecost moment. A Friday night, but we want those moments here. Of course, I hope we do. Not just be religious do-nothings, just to kind of go through our little religious deal here. So what do we do, pray? Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, we come to you now with our hearts.
Open up our hearts now
to receive more of you.
If we've never accepted you,
we ask you into our hearts now. Forgive us our sins.
Give us your love.
Your life.
And your power.
To live for you.
Help us
to turn away
from anything
that keeps us from you.
Fill us now
with your powerful Holy Spirit.
Give us zeal
and passion
and love
for your kingdom.
And the souls of others.
Open up our eyes and ears
to understand the sign of the times
and know what to do about it.
Help us
to stand up,
to be courageous,
to be loving,
and to go out into the world
and make a difference
in your name
and for your glory.
Amen.
Amen.